Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this morning we will read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service, Text 6. It's a very famous verse. Savaipumsam puro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaituk yaprati hata yayatma supracedati. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this statement, Sri Suta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that fallen people, or the people in general, might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called the Pravritti Marg, or the path of sense enjoyment, and the other is called the Nivritti Marg, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence, or Brahma-Bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. There is just the futile attempt to get rid of the miseries. And temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable, and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, and all cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation for ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality. That is, without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of the devotional service of the Lord, without any tinge of unnecessary desire, fruit of action, and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in his service. We have purposely denoted dharma as occupation, because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and is completely distinct from our experience in material existence. This relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. I'll read the verse again. Savaipam sampro dharmo yato bhaktir hokshaje ahaituk yaprati hata yayatma supersedati. The supreme occupation dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vastachyade Shatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchikalpaturubhyascha Kripasindubhyaevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah. So this is a very important verse, as I mentioned. Of course, all of Srimad Bhagavatam is very important. There is not really a verse which is not very important. This particular verse is really very important. It's coming in the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is something like the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. If you have read Bhagavad Gita carefully, then you would have noticed that the second chapter is called Contents of the Gita Summarized. So it is a systematic introduction to the whole subject matter of the entire Bhagavad Gita. And if you read through it carefully, you'll see how the different points which are raised throughout Bhagavad Gita, how they're introduced in that second chapter, and particularly the actual point of Bhagavad Gita, which is pure devotional service to the Lord, is definitely introduced very clearly. So the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, even though the Bhagavatam is a much, much larger literature, approximately 18,000 verses, as opposed to the Bhagavad Gita's exactly 700. But still the same function is there, introducing the subject matter, which is devotional service to the Lord. There is no other process which, certainly there's no other process which can give complete benefit or ultimate benefit. Of course, there are other processes mentioned in the Vedic literatures, and Bhagavad Gita, of course, mentions a number, just very briefly, different forms of yoga, sacrifice, etc. But none of them can give the complete result. At best, they can give some partial result. At best, in another sense, they may or may not, but they may, they can lead one to devotional service, in which case they help to achieve the ultimate goal of life. But in many cases, as we see, what is popularly called Hinduism, at least those parts of what is popularly called Hinduism, which do really have their roots in actual Vedic concepts and actual Vedic processes like different forms of yoga and sacrifice and different types of meditation and whatnot. Not talking about those parts of what is called Hinduism, which are just concoctions and, you know, extrapolations to the point of having lost the actual validity or the essence. But what is popularly called Hinduism is actually a collection of different processes which are meant to lead one to the devotional service to the Lord. But pretty much entirely, they've all been isolated in and of themselves, as if they're ends in themselves, but actually they're not ends in themselves. And therefore they cannot give what is very specifically being pointed out here and emphasized here, that is, the complete satisfaction of the self. They cannot, they do not, and as a result, the people who try to practice them, they're not completely satisfied by any means, and many of them are just materialistic, actually, in different ways to different degrees, but really materialistic. So, what is being stated here is really extremely important, that the supreme dharma, the Sanskrit term is para dharma, in the first line of the Sanskrit, savai pumsam para paro dharmo, para dharma. That thing, sa means that particular thing. Vai is a term of emphasis, definitely, certainly. Pumsam, for humanity, human beings. That thing which is certainly para, the supreme dharma, for all living beings, is yato bhaktir adhoksaje. The supreme dharma, Prabhupada here of course refers or translates dharma as occupational duty, and discusses it a little bit in the purport, not just religion. Yes, not just religion. But the supreme dharma, or the supreme occupational activity, the supreme way you can orient your life, actually, is that by which organize yourself in such a way that you will attain to bhaktir adhoksaje, bhakti, devotional service to the Lord, who is beyond the power of the senses. Adhoksaja, aksha means the eyes, but it includes the rest of the senses. Yes. Devotional service to the Lord who is transcendental beyond the senses. So that's all very good. That's all very nice if people can engage in devotional service somehow or other. indeed, Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Nectar of Devotion, he quotes a verse from Padma Purana, which in that broad and general way that somehow live your life and focus your duties and your orientation in general in such a way that you take to devotional service and you engage in service. So Rupa Goswami quotes this verse, Yena kena prakarena mana Krishna naveshayet, which is a very interesting statement. Yena, in this way, kena, in that way, prakarena, in some way, mana Krishna naveshayet. Think of Krishna. Focus your mind on Krishna. Somehow or other, whatever it takes to do it, do it, but do it. Focus your mind on Krishna. So that's nice. That's a nice first step. But as the verse is pointing out very clearly, and this really, it's the essential next step. It's not just a next step, but it's the essential next step. Ahoitaki apratihata yayatma supracedati. So now you are engaging in that way. Doing things which help you and engaging in devotional service and doing things which help you engage in devotional service, very good. But your attempts in devotional service must be two things: unmotivated, and secondly, uninterrupted, if you are to really get the result, the actual result, which is, or at least an important and essential part of which is, you become completely satisfied. And in that state of complete satisfaction, then, of course, you certainly don't need anything else. But not only do you not need anything else, you actually have no interest in anything else at all. Absolutely zero interest in anything else, because you are, as the verse says, supracedati, means completely satisfied. You know, we know what it's like, having done this for many years, we know what it's like, that Krishna consciousness is nice. And we're doing our chanting and everything, it's nice. But then something else comes along. We know other things come along. Some social event, some the latest movie, what's his name? Shah Rukh Khan with his big nose. And, you know, XYZ. Even for people from Hindu backgrounds, some religious function comes along. And even though you're finding, yes, Krishna consciousness is nice, but because you haven't come to the point where you are completely satisfied, then your mind starts taking an interest in these things. And in this way, you achieve a position which Prabhupada refers to here. Let's just see, what is it? Where is it? Yes, that devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal blissful and all cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation as compared to just ordinary material existence. But then Prabhupada says, this is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation or progressive path of Krishna consciousness. So, you see, this is for yourselves. You're all devotees. And I was admiring all of you. You're sitting there and chanting and chanting and chanting for hours. Well done. And, you know, we watch devotees, and sometimes we see, we do it exactly something like this, precisely like this. And someone comes along, yes, you know. But then you see, they can't become absorbed in it. They're looking here, looking there, checking this, checking that, making a little phone call, and going out, and coming back in. And you can see, they're not really absorbed. So for devotees like yourselves, who are really trying sincerely to apply yourselves in Krishna consciousness and make Krishna consciousness the focal point of your lives, for devotees like yourselves, this particular point is very relevant, very important, and very important to address. The danger of allowing our efforts in Krishna consciousness to become mixed with something which is not Krishna conscious, or which is less, at least, than ideal Krishna consciousness. This is the problem that devotees face. And practically speaking, this is the only reason why sometimes some devotees cease to be devotees. Or if not cease, but sometimes you see some devotees get sidetracked and get into some difficult, awkward situation. Yeah. And become less involved, less active, and so on like that. So the problem is mixing. Mixture. This is the problem. And indeed, in a, you could say, scientific sense, Srila Rupa Goswami, in Nectar of Devotion and other writings, he talks about different types of mixtures. Yes. The Sanskrit term for mixture is mishra. Mishra. So you have bhakti, which is Krishna consciousness, of course. But you can have karma mishra bhakti. Devotional service, which has now become mixed with some material interest. Like Prabhupada mentions here, adopting devotional service for material gain. Sometimes people ask us, what if you chant, if I chant, or you chant, if you chant Hare Krishna, what do you get? And what they mean is, do you get money? Do you get a better job? Do you get a better husband? Or motor car? Or what do you get? But Srila Prabhupada, he was also asked the same question. What is the result of chanting Hare Krishna? And do you know what Srila Prabhupada's answer to that question was? It's a classic. You know what the answer is?
I think.
What is it?
You get peace of mind.
No. Anyway, you know, nice try. You do get peace of mind. You do. But it's not the result. I'll tell you the answer. Prabhupada's asked, what's the result of chanting? Prabhupada's answer, more chanting. If you chant nicely, you get a taste for chanting. And when you get a taste for chanting, you can chant, as Lord Chaitanya said, kirtaniya sada, always, constantly chant. And when you constantly chant, you go back to Godhead. You go back to Godhead. You're liberated. And of course, you become completely satisfied if you're constantly engaged, always engaged, and always, 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 without cessation. And peace of mind, well, you know, Prabhupada also talked about that. Prabhupada said, peace of mind is the first installment, but it is a multi-installment program. Yes. All right. So there is karma mishra bhakti. You're trying to do devotional service. You're trying to do bhakti, but somehow it's being infiltrated by actual material interest and like material expectations from it, material hopes that we'll get this or get that or whatever it may be, material. Then there is another thing. It is called jnana mishra bhakti. It is bhakti, it is devotional service, but it is mixed with philosophical knowledge, philosophical ideas, which are not actually authentic, which are not Krishna conscious. Like, some people, at least in the sort of really classic sense, the impersonalists, those who think it's all one, and I am God, and you are God, and everyone's God, and the dog is God. I mean, you know, dog, God, you just switch the letters around and you've got it. So, we're all God. And they think, yes, we will chant Hare Krishna. We will render devotional service to Krishna to help us realize that we are God. You know, we are not God. And I can tell you, you're very lucky I am not God, because I would not make a good God. It would be, you know, beyond the scope of my abilities. But these people, they think like this. They think like this. And many of them engage in deity worship. Many of them chant Hare Krishna. And if you go to Vrindavan, it's, you know, it's very clear, vividly clear there. If you go to Vrindavan, particularly around Kartik time, October, November, that time, you'll see billboards, full size, big billboards, advertising Bhagavat Saptaha, means a 7-day program of just reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. But you'll see the photo will be there of the person who's going to do it. And you see in many cases, you just see their tilak. You know, they generally all have tilak. Many of them, they have the 3-line tilak across the forehead, not the vertical tilak of the Vaishnavas, but the 3-line tilak of the Shivites and the Mayavadis. And then you know, this person is not a devotee. But still, even though he's not a devotee, and he is trying to supposedly realize that he is God, which he isn't, but anyway, he's trying. But still, part of the process is to recite Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a pure Vaishnava literature. So you see, this is called being confused. And their explanations of Srimad Bhagavatam, they're all impersonal, and you know, you're all God and we're God, and Krishna's God and you're God too. So this is called Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Or may actually be Bhakti Mishra Jnana. You know, that he's more just attached to the knowledge, impersonal knowledge, and he's just using the bhakti. But Jnana Mishra Bhakti means you're trying to do bhakti, you're trying to serve Krishna, actually, but you're allowing these misconceptions to come in. Then there's also Yoga Mishra Bhakti. And a typical and even popular idea in that regard is that, yes, we must chant Hare Krishna because we are devotees. But in order to chant Hare Krishna better, before we chant, we will do some yoga exercises. We'll do some breathing exercises, maybe sit cross-legged, stand on our heads, and all this, and that will prepare us, then we'll chant better. This is called Yoga Mishra Bhakti. It is devotional service to Krishna, but it is mixed with some concepts in regard to yoga, like in terms of physical exercise. So what's being pointed out here is really very important, extremely important, that the supreme thing to do is render service to the Lord and mold your life and the activities of your life, like your family situation and everything, in such a way that your bhakti, your service to Krishna, your engagement in devotional service, including chanting, etc., is encouraged and developed positively. But in order to actually be successful and come to the point where you're completely satisfied, your attempts in devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. These two things. Unmotivated. Why are we doing it? To please Krishna. That's unmotivated. You know, why are you doing it? To get peace of mind? That's motivated. It's not like a heavy motivation, like, you know, to become rich and powerful. I will chant Hare Krishna so all my competitors in business die. This is a little more extreme. But I'm chanting Hare Krishna to get peace of mind. It's also a bit of a mixture, a personal, you know, some personal interest for one's personal satisfaction. So, but why are we serving Krishna? Why are we chanting Hare Krishna? To please Krishna. This is unmotivated. This is unmotivated. And why are you chanting Hare Krishna? For no reason, just because. This is impersonal. Yeah, it's not actual, a lack of motivation. So unmotivated means no personal desire, just to please Krishna. And uninterrupted means not on and off and on and what's on television tonight. Ah, my favorite program at 8 o'clock. Okay, let me finish my rounds before it. This is interrupted devotional service. So this we should cultivate in order to progress. And if I remember correctly, Prabhupada made the point in the purport something to the effect that the relationship of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy, and one can realize it as devotional service progresses. So as we progress in developing this type of consciousness, then gradually that satisfaction progresses from being partially satisfied to being you know, quite satisfied to being completely satisfied. And on the basis of being completely satisfied in Krishna consciousness, on that basis, one can turn one's back on the material world. Not just through becoming very strong and renouncing things and controlling the mind, stopping the mind if it goes off track. Of course, we do have to try to be self-controlled, but all these things become automatic and spontaneous, natural, when you're completely satisfied through rendering unmotivated, uninterrupted, means pure devotional service. Hare Krishna.
Hare.
I hope I didn't shock anyone by saying that. Is anyone feeling, you know, you mean I have to give up Bollywood? I hope nobody's feeling disturbed. But actually, this is very important. Any comment or question from all you nice and well-educated devotees? Think about it. We'll continue tomorrow. Tomorrow? Yes, we'll continue. Srila Prabhupada ki.